This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is the Morning Run, and you're here with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. 7.06 a.m., Monday, the 18th of May. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with P. Gunasegaram, editor-in-chief of Focus Malaysia, on the controversy surrounding the discharge of Riza Aziz. But before that, we're taking a look now at the markets.
Well, let's start with the U.S. because the Dow Jones closed up 0.3%, S&P 500 up 0.4%, NASDAQ was also up 0.8%, so a rather decent day in the U.S. Meanwhile, in Asia, on Friday's close, Nikkei closed up 0.6%. Shanghai was actually down very marginally at 0.07%. Hang Seng followed same, down 0.1%, while the Straits Times Index in Singapore was up 0.1%, while we had a pretty, I wouldn't say a great day in terms of percentage gains, but a lot of volume. It was up 0.4%.
All right, and this morning, to give us more insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Kingsley. So Warren Buffett has reduced his stakes in Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. Is this an indication that US financial institutions might be seeing a higher degree of earnings uncertainty this year?
Well, in addition to a weak consumer, I think the big risk for U.S. banks is further bankruptcies in retail, hospitality, tourism, and energy. I think that's probably why Berkshire Hathaway has lightened on those particular names in finance, Goldman's and JP Morgan. They will be getting some benefit from capital raisings amongst companies that need to strengthen their balance sheets, but this is probably offset by a weaker balance sheet themselves as they had to take write-downs on debt that's starting to fail. As far as the U.S. is concerned, we think that comparisons with the global financial crisis of 2008 are a little difficult, in as much as in that crisis, the central bank action was able to firm up the balance sheets of banks with liquidity injections. At this time, though, in the U.S., the problem really is aggregate demand is very weak. It's a problem of activity more than bad debt. And that itself then leads to bad debt. So the Federal Reserve cannot restore activity and was a major demand shock. I think time will heal that. But after the initial burst of enthusiasm, the interest in U.S. banks is waning now, and we think we'll probably lead the market down to retest the lows.
And like you say, you know, the only sectors that seem to have currently done well are tech and healthcare. That's kind of holding up. Do you see other sectors coming into play as perhaps more U.S. states and even other countries emerge from a lockdown?
Well, they are the two obvious candidates, but we think that we'll probably start to see a little bit of a change of tone in the market as investors seek out, shall we say, the winners of this particular crisis. And those two have been doing quite well for 10 years and will probably do well in selected basis going forward. I think the new winners, though, are likely to be in areas of essentials for the home. There'll be a lot of people with challenged incomes, both salary earners and also businesses. And I think, therefore, areas like food, home making and other aspects of making life better at home with probably a focus on the home budget are going to be pretty important going forward.
Now, Kingsley, U.S. retail sales plunged 16% in April, while JCPenney filed for bankruptcy on Friday. So what will it take for consumer sentiment to recover here and for personal spending to pick up again amidst, as you mentioned, this press on home budgets?
Well, you know, we really need to see the restoration of employment generally. And for that to happen, we need demand to pick up. So I think it's going to be a mixed story across the economy. Some areas will recover sooner than others, obviously. But the real areas of weakness are going to be in low-margin businesses that really required a high volume of transactions to support them. So areas of retail that are characterized by low margin and are not essentials, discretionary items, I think are going to be under enormous stress. We saw that over the weekend with JCPenney, the U.S. retailer, filing for bankruptcy, as did Nordstrom a little while ago. So in-store retail service employment is a big area around the world, and that's been hit hard. And the new jobs, of course, are going to be different. They're in areas like warehouse, packing, and logistics for firms like Amazon. So we should expect this to take a little while before things get sorted out in terms of where the new areas of strength are and where the old weakness fades.
And Kingsley, let's look at things on a bigger picture perspective, right? Because the Feds, they have warned that asset prices would fall steeply when this pandemic deepens, which is already happening. Now, given that scenario, how should investors hedge their risks? Is it a question of going to safer havens like gold and US dollar, or basically there are none left?
Well, I'm not that negative. I think there are places where we can invest profitably and still build a good portfolio that can protect wealth and also benefits from some growth. But I think it's pretty narrow right now. In the US, I think the market indices are just too high right now in aggregate. And that's probably the result of the early central bank action, which, of course, is welcome. But it's tended to push asset prices quite hard. And a lot of folks have interpreted that as meaning that the recovery will be quick, a V-shape. I don't think that was the message of the Federal Reserve that you mentioned. They're saying it's going to take a lot longer. So in that environment, we need to have some defensives in the portfolio. We've spoken often about Microsoft. In the US, we also own United Health and some medical device stocks. I think the real areas to be looking for value and opportunity is in the food stocks all around the world. It's not a huge sector, but there are some good opportunities there in companies like B&G Foods or General Mills in the US, Danone, we think in Europe. Domestically in Australia, we own grocers like Woolworths. And up in Asia, there's a whole range of different food plays that are, I think, worth looking at this time.
And after some initial market exuberance, the CBOE Volatility Index has posted its biggest gain in 2 months as investors appear to be taking a more risk-off approach. So are you also of this same view?
Well, we're pretty cautious, actually, because I think that what can often confound investors is the fact that when a central bank takes action like the US Federal Reserve has of pumping a lot of liquidity into the market, asset prices respond very quickly. And people can interpret that upward move in the asset prices as signaling that the real economy is not in as bad a shape as it looks. I don't think that's the case. I think the real economy is significantly worse than perhaps even now we realize, and therefore asset prices have gotten ahead of themselves. And in this environment, we're pretty cautious. We're actually short some of the market indices in the US, and we may get shorter still, because I think that now comes the reality of this downturn, and it's going to take a while to fix it. And therefore, we just have to be a bit cautious, I think, in not getting too excited get very long the market at high levels when clearly things are not that great in the US economy and also elsewhere.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Kingsley. And that was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us some insight into the global markets, as well as some comments from the Federal Reserve, because Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell came out to say that he thinks that the US economy will recover, but the process could stretch through until even the end of next year, basically depending on whether or not we see a vaccine delivered.
Sorry, excuse me. I think I was so sad from Jerome Powell's comments that there will be a recession until next year. But something that Kingsley also echoes, right? Because it's basically, markets seem to have run ahead of itself. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you know, is there going to be a pullback, and how painful would it be?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is also assuming that there is no second wave of infections. And, you know, that is a big assumption, because Jerome Powell said that for the economy to fully recover, people will have to be fully confident. And of course, that is going to have to, that may have to await the arrival of a vaccine. Now, President Donald Trump has said that he hopes to have a vaccine ready by the end of 2020. But public health experts have warned that the process is likely to take much longer. And this includes Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the U.S. National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
Well, we all pray that it will take, as quick as possible to get a vaccine. But the reality is, even if you find it, how do you mass produce it for all of us 7 billion people? That's the big question. And we already see some fighting going on.
Yes, vaccine nationalism is the term.
So Sanofi had some, President Macron had some hard words for Sanofi. I think we're going to continue to see that kind of brickbats in the vaccine space because everybody wants it, right?
But right now, we're going to be heading into some messages. And up next, we're taking a look at the local front, speaking with P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, on the controversy surrounding Riza Aziz's discharge. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.